So I'm Rick Wehmer. I'm a theater actor in physical theater and mime theater, as well as a theater educator. And I've been touring for close to 40 years of my career internationally with the physical theater work, and have had a couple different theater companies that were successful for anywhere from 3 to 10 years in different stints. And currently teaching at the University of Arizona as an adjunct in the School of Theater, Film, and Television. When I think about music and its impact on my life and how important it's been kind of a carriage of connection through my whole journey, I think, of life to date, which is, you know, 6 decades or so of living, and it still continues to do that. And I have the earliest memory, which is one of my favorite things to recall, and how it's tied to, for me, the importance of connection and relationship, really, which is where music has kind of, for the most part, been engaging in my life, is that it's been around that sense of community and connection with people. So when I was very, very young, I lived in a home that was a tri-level. So I would say between the ages of probably 4.5 to 5 years old, pretty active little rugrat running around the house and around the neighborhood, even at 5. Back in days when it was okay to run around the neighborhood without parents toting behind you, you know. My father was the first to introduce me to a sensibility around music. And he didn't even realize that he was doing it. And it happened this way. So Dad was working for Bell Laboratories at the time on the East Coast. And he would work all day long. And then he would go to school at night. So at that time, Bell Laboratories was part of Ma Bell before the big split up to different companies. And I don't know if some of that kind of breakup came, it must come during my high school years, but during that time he would go to school after work and all day. So he'd get home from night school, as he called it at the time, just in the nick of time to see the kids going off to bed, right? So he would always do these really cool things of coming up and tucking you in and saying goodnight to you. And he had this really fun, beautiful way of swiping his hand through your hair, which I just adored. And my dad was always very affectionate with all of us as kids. And we had a beautiful friendship, intimacy, father-son relationship my whole life with him. He needed time and space on a daily basis to just discharge and debrief from a really hectic, busy day, seeing us off, a late dinner, home studies, so we had to study at night. And what he would do was between 2, it was like 2 a.m. to 4 a.m., as quietly as he could manage it, he put on classical music on the stereo down in the living room. We were in a tri-level. And I remember so keenly rolling over at night, waking up and listening. And I'd get to the habit of like, is he doing it? Is Dad doing it? And I'd listen, and sure enough, wafting up through the staircase was this symphonic classical music playing. I would get out of bed, and very, very quietly, I would sneak downstairs, and I would sit on the closest staircase that still gave me some cover from the side, if I could cover, and I'd peek around, and I would see him sitting in his easy chair, with his head tilted back and his eyes closed, just taking in that music, and one hand would just be moving through the space. You know, it just feel like it wasn't like conducting, but it was like his hand was dancing with the music and the rest of him was radical stillness. And I was fascinated by that view of my dad and that he would listen to the music. And what was interesting is that he would sometimes listen to an FM station that played classical music, but he also had a collection of classical albums. And you know, at that time, those old console stereos, you could stack three or four, plunk, and then you'd hear the plunk, and it'd plunk back down. And so I would wake up and always hear different music, but if I sat there long enough, I always heard the Manfred Symphony, Tchaikovsky. And so the first piece of music that outside of the home I could identify and name it was that piece of music, because of all that time that I would just listen to my father night after night, because I was fascinated by, I would ask these kind of questions of myself, even at that young age, just like, why is he doing it? What's going on for him? He's so quiet. He's so still. Look at that hand, you know? And it was just sweet. And then the joy of joys was he would sense me. And he would notice that I was there. And he'd look over and I'd try to hide behind the frame of the staircase wall. And I would barely hear him quietly come up and he'd be standing over me. And he'd say, do you want to come and listen? And so then he'd let me come and sit with him for a little bit, and I would fall asleep in his lap and he'd find myself waking up in the morning in bed. Yeah, I think it was kind of like his mindful meditation time. I don't know if he considered it as a meditation, but it was his way to kind of just like release all of the stressors of the day, freshen his spirit. And then he would crash for a few hours and be back off to go to work. And I swear that that guy did that for 20 years. Never played a musical instrument that we ever saw. He appreciated all kinds of classical music, and he loved barbershop quartet music. He was a huge fan of Mitch Miller and the gang, for those people who want to be thinking about, yeah, Mitch Miller and sing along with Mitch, right? And the bouncing ball on the television of Mitch Miller was always something that we would watch on the TV show, The Weekly Show. But mostly when he sat in silence like that, though, he would listen to classical music. So the first music that I actually collected were pieces of Haydn, Handel, some LPs of, well, I picked up Manfred as soon as I could because I just was in love with that melody line from, this, I think, the second movement especially. And so it was just really probably my first foray into like, oh, wow, music is more than Eva Destruction I hear on the radio. Do you know what I mean? Like, so that was a big change, but it was about this. It really was tied to that amazing sense of connection to my father as well, right? So we shared, up until he died, we shared these experiences at times that were around music, and his love for music was always a part of his being. My mother had a whole different taste in music that was... And he was always happy to acquiesce to what she wanted to hear in the house. But when he could have his own way, he would listen to classical music more often than not.
Watch the Ed Sullivan Show.
All the time. Ed Sullivan, Mitch Miller, Danny Kaye, you know, Milton Berle. Jackie Gleason, you know, Dean Martin, Perry Como. I mean, come on. that's our parents' era, right? Yeah. And we were kids. And my mother joined in on all of that. But Mom was kind of interesting. Mom sang around the house more than anyone else in the household. So my mother would, like, my memory of my mom consistently, which is also a really great relationship that I had with my mother, is that she sang Doris Day songs all the time. And she would come in the room to wake us up, throw the blinds open, and sing Que Sera, Sera on like a daily basis, you know? So oftentimes that would be our awakening. So there would be those great nights where I would be listening to my father in wonder about what's he going through, and then be invited to sit with him, and then I'd fall asleep, I suppose, and find myself waking up to my mother singing Que Sera, throwing the blinds open and sun in my eyes. So that was music in our household. Yeah, I think there's so many spaces in my life that were filled with music around. I think important relationships or around the recognition of something greater than myself to participate in. And that's kind of a fascinating thing for me. Yeah, because I remember even like during my college days, we had an interesting, innovative humanities program that they called the core program. Now a lot of universities have had similar kind of things, but you took a semester of your prerequisite humanities every semester of your time there. So you had, or one course every semester, rather than having to do lots of courses early on. But it was all strung together across all the humanities. So it ticked off your sciences, it ticked off your arts, it ticked off all the language that you need, all those things. And during the 4 years I went to college, all the professors, it was team taught by a huge collection of profs. And all of them, the one consistent thing they used through 4 freaking years, which was amazing that they sustained that for 4 years, but it was in their heyday, was that the Moody Blues were a part of every single one of those courses.
Oh, wow.
As the Moody's evolved in their thought and philosophy of songs and what they were about, those profs incorporated them into every freaking semester. And I'll never forget that. So they became like a group that really felt like there was an expansion of possibility for me, because they were so tied to that humanities course that lasted 4 years. Yeah. People really are tied to music. And, you know, I'm an artist of the theater. And, of course, I use music in the theater. But at the same time, when I really think about all of the art forms, as universal as I think silent theater can be globally, if you're careful to honor cultural differences and find what is universal and do it, I don't think there's any art form that touches all of humanity like music does. It's so universal. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, you know, it's just really curious how music kind of moves through different eras of your life, too. So what it is to me today is nothing like it was 20 when I was 20, right? You know, and then you filter I filter my experiences with music now through 60 some years of life. And that adds a dimensionality that's pretty huge and different and expansive for me. So there's days when I can listen to a piece of music, and I just can't find the end to myself. It just elicits that kind of sensation. And that, I'm always moved to tears when that happens. It's pretty great. On another whole topic, but not for this recording and stuff, he had another habit, is that for a period of time, he kept a small frog in the drip pan under the refrigerator in the kitchen of that same house. And sometimes when I would come down hearing the music, instead of being in the chair, he was on the floor feeding it little tiny bits of hamburger meat, raw. He would be 100 today. Today would have been his 100th birthday.